Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined today by former forward Chris. Chris, we've just had this chat, haven't we, mate? We'll go through it in a minute. I knew I'd get it wrong.
So, yeah.
Hang on.
Go on, then. Give us a go. Give us a go.
So, Chris Iwelamo.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. 46 appearances for the Wolves. 16 goals, fantastic goal scoring record of over 1 in 3. And the reason I did stutter at the start was because Mikey Burrows always says Chris Iwelamo, and for some reason I always think it's Iwelumo. So you can put us right now, Chris. What is it?
Yeah, it's Iwelamo. Yeah, it's one of those things. I think Sky, TalkSport, it's always been Iwelumo when I was playing, and then they corrected it both when I started working for them. So it was Iwelamo is the pronunciation that I've used all my life. I'll tell you a little funny story though. That my sister met a Nigerian man when she was living in London. She was down there for 15 years.
Yeah,
and he said the right pronunciation is Iwelumo. So it's funny that my dad must have put a little spin on it when he came over from Nigeria. Thought he'd kind of mix the name up a little bit, and he said Iwelumo, and that's what I've used all my days. So there you go.
Brilliant. So it's Chris Iwelumo. Brilliant.
Perfect.
Right, I've got it now.
Perfect, Jess.
Now, obviously, Chris, I know. Listen, lockdown's been tough for a lot of people. I know you've done a fantastic job, you and Mikey, with the old goal club, and obviously doing the re-reviewed work now. I mean, have you kept busy in lockdown, and how difficult has it been for you?
Yeah, well, it's, you know what? It's like obviously my missus, she's on maternity leave. We've had the little man. He was 6 months yesterday.
Wow, congratulations.
So it has been a little bit. Yeah, thank you. It's been difficult because I guess it's not the maternity leave that she wants, you know. But I guess we still have that quality time.
Yes.
I think for myself, yeah, I've been busy enough. You know, I've been doing my bits with TalkSport, with the old goal club, and like you say, I think we spoke before we came on air as well, Jace, about my property portfolio as well.
Yes.
That I manage. So like I've been busy enough. Probably kind of. Should have done a little bit more fitness stuff than what I have done, but
I think that's all of us, Chris, not just you.
Yeah, I'll get back into it. You know, I'll get back into it. It's like I need to get myself a bike, and so I can get out and do I do love a good cycle. So it's one of those things. I think the running now, I just feel it on my knees, my back. You've hounded me and chased me for years to try and get me to play these games left, right, and
yes,
center.
Yes, the Wolves All-Stars.
I don't even know what. Yeah, it's just one. I can't. They honestly, those days are gone. I was lucky. I get told at a very young age that I'd only play till I was 27 with operations that I had on my knee. But my career never really kicked off, you know, money wise and that, until 27, 28
yeah.
when I went to Charlton, then came to Wolves. So it's just one of them. I think even Kempe and Dr. Perry and that, they had a proper argument about mobilising, doing this, and you know what, I trained every day, Jason, and like you say, I had my injuries towards the end.
Yes.
But you know what, I really feel it now, and that's why it's like I'm not being ignorant by not playing these games. The calf goes for no reason whatsoever now. Walking down the stairs a little bit too quick and it goes, you know, so
oh,
I try
dear.
And do all my running. But it's all straight line running and things. It's all cycling and it's rowing. But any twisting and turning and that, oh, I was stiff when I played, Jace. If you could only imagine me now, mate.
See, the thing is, Chris, you are a big unit and, you know, it must be
I'm
difficult.
Even bigger unit now, Jace.
Well, actually, before, you know, before obviously we recorded the podcast, you did drop me a text and you asked if it was a video one. And I was a bit concerned. I thought, is he going to get pumping iron before he comes on? But I did inform him it was just obviously a phone call.
I've just not shaved. I usually shave every day, every other day. But I've let the hair grow in and in the face growing, and people don't usually see me like that, you know. So when it's all video stuff, it's I can grow the afro, you know. I can grow it, but it just I'm looking at myself now as I'm talking to you in the mirror, and for the fact you said it's just a voice call, I didn't have to shave, and it's one of them. I think you'd be surprised with what seeing me with hair, you know, and seeing me with facial hair, because Everything's just smooth, mate. So that's why I asked the question.
Oh, fantastic, Chris, fantastic. Well, we want to get you back on for your full story, Chris, because it's obviously very interesting, but we did set you the task of picking your best 11 from players that you played with in your time at the Wolves, which, Chris, was a very successful time in that promotion campaign. So, and we want to thank you for that, for being such a great part of it.
No, thank you.
It was
one of those things, you know. I think Mick McCarthy, when he called me that summer and said that I'd actually been offered by Charlton, I finished top goal scorer at Charlton. I was only player in the Charlton squad to be involved in every single game. So I was quite surprised that I was offered for Ward, you know, centre back, to go the other way. But as soon as Mick called me, I knew where I wanted to be. You know, I wanted to get myself back to kind of up the Midlands, and it was just perfect opportunity. So I was very surprised. I knew a few of the players from the dressing room anyway, but when I walked in, it just felt like home straight away. So we'll go through that when we talk about the actual players I chose. It was difficult, you know. It was really difficult because everyone played their part when they were asked upon. I'm still friends with a lot of those players. I mean, still in contact that you speak regularly. So yes. So no, I'm looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Actually, Chris, a funny little story as well. I remember I got invited to one of the Wolves photo calls the once, and I do remember you and Matt Murray swapping shirts, and I think Matt had an outfield shirt on and you had a goalkeeper shirt on.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I had this big baggy goalkeeper shirt on, and Matt was skin tight wearing mine, and I thought I was a big guy, you know what I mean? And I just remember I think the staff, they just want to get the photo and that done. I remember Mick McCarthy just was not amused with the two of us at all. You know, I think we'd wasted so much time as it was, and then he wasn't happy. So I think, to be fair, Mick, the boys had so much respect for him. So you just knew, when he had that little kind of smile or that little kind of go at you, you knew when he was serious and when he wasn't, you know. Yes. So me and Big Man just we quickly swapped back and got ahead with the photo, you know. So brilliant, mate. Good times.
Yeah. Matt actually had to peel the shirt off, I think. It was that tight on him.
There you go. You know what I mean? If you're saying I was a big unit then, just big Matt, you know what? People say he top heavy, but just what a guy. He does need to work on his legs, though, the big man, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He has got little chicken legs. So, what formation are you going for with your best 11, Chris?
Yeah, 4-4-2. 4-4-2.
Standard 4-4. When I say standard, was that pretty much, you know, what you played throughout your career, the 4-4-2? Because I know he's changed at Wolves now.
Yeah, that is pretty much what was played. You know, I usually played the big man, the little man. I've had some great striking partners. And then it was just probably when I went to Burnley, I started playing up top on my own. Watford's, we kind of played a 3-5-2. That kind of worked really well as well. It was the kind of possession game. So it's just, you know, I've been under some great managers, Jace. You know, I've had Zola at Watford, Sean Dyche at Watford. You know, I've had some great, Eddie Howe, Alan Pardew, you know what I mean, Mick McCarthy, Tony Pulis. I've had many of them, you know, so I know... Yes. I know what they kind of, it's down to the manager and how they want to play. I think for me, what got the best out of me was having a good partner beside me, you know, and that kind of, they complemented each other, and that's something where me and Silv was a complete out and out goal scorer. You know, he was selfish, but you had to be. He was hungry for goals. I played with Leon Knight at Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, I've played with Jamie Curitan at Colchester. I've had Adi Akinbaye, you know, Gifton Noel Williams, Chris Greenacre. The list goes on at Stoke, you know, Carla Saba. You know, and still, even though you've got the kind of, me and Addy, I thought we worked really well because Addy would chase everything, you know, for the energy and the power that he had. I would say that he could have been better up in his head. He was doing too much running.
Yeah.
So then some of the times, even though he's the older player, you'd say, Addy, just block, cover the line. But Addy was the one that he could actually run for 96 minutes, full pelt, and go again. You know what I mean? That's how fit he was. So he knew that he could do that, and by being the way that he was, he put defenders under so much pressure. Whereas I think, yeah, you can run about and people say like a headless chicken, but yeah, then you've got no energy for when the ball comes to your feet. So there's certain things, but I think a partner is a two. You know, I think when I was at Wolves and you've got Doyle that comes in, I think Doyle played better on his own.
Yes.
He struggled with a partner, in my opinion, because
yeah,
he knew what he had to do on his own, and he did it very well. He did it better than most players out there can do, you know. But there's been some great strikers that came in, you know. Fletch came in, who I've played with Scotland, and you just know the qualities that he's got. But Sylvain was for me, he's probably just the out and out. And Mick McCarthy said it, didn't he? He said he's probably his best ever signed with the return on goals that he provided for Wolves.
I mean, it's interesting you say about Addy Eckenbye, because I know you didn't play with him at Wolves. He was at Wolves earlier in his career, and to be honest, he was a big money signing at the time, but the return was very good. And, you know, the sad thing was with Addy, we sold him to Leicester. I mean, we cashed in, and Wolves, it was a good deal for Wolves, but he didn't seem to do it at Leicester. And I just think a couple more years at Wolves and we could have seen a lot more goals.
I totally agree. I think you know what you're going to get with Addy. I think at the end of the day, the Wolves did get good money for him. He goes there with pressure on his back, and he was never one to kind of fall short of facing that, you know. But as a striker, you're very dependent on your getting your goals. You're going to get judged on the goals that you score, and we all know that he went through a very difficult time at Leicester. You know, it was. And it was one of them. You remember it now when he did get the goal and the top came off, and
you know what,
it's just, and it's as a striker, there's a certain element of pressure there. No matter, and I say this, you know, like I was assistant manager at Chester Football Club, and this is what I said to my strikers. I says, you know, at the end of the season, when people look at the games and they look at the reviews and they think, it's how many times your name pops up. So there will be chances will come to you in games that you're not having the best of games, but you stick it in the back of the net, then that can be forgiven.
Yeah.
You understand? So you just got to make sure that when the chance comes, even if you're having a stinker, when the chance comes, put it in the back of the net, boom, boom. And that's what I tried to drill into them. So when I done my striking drills, I made sure, I'd run them into the ground, and then all of a sudden, I'd do finishing with them. So basically then, it's tired minds. How do they perform when they're under that pressure? And it's massive. It is massive, because it's the mentality. You can tell the players that completely shank this and shank that, because it's all about concentration, Jace, you know. So
yes,
if you can tire the mind, what have they got then? And that's something that I did with them regularly. All of a sudden, the game's coming Saturday, Tuesday, boom, goal. It just becomes habit. And to be fair, when I signed at Wolves, I think, I know I scored 15 goals in 12. And my first 12 games for Wolves, I scored 15 goals. And that just shows you. If I hadn't picked up a little injury, I remember I rocked my ankle. I had kinesio tape at the Charlton match. I had to pull out the Charlton match really two or three games in, three games into the season. I missed the Charlton match, but then I came back for the Preston one. I hadn't trained all week, trained on the Friday, and then got a hat-trick
I remember it very well.
So it's just little things like that. It's like, in the right environment, in the right group that knows your strengths, and that's why I go with a 4-4-2, because it does protect me and Silva a little bit. When you're on your own, you either can have the energy to run everywhere, or do you stay within the width of the box, which I got told, because of my mobility, but I was a good outlet, as in the ball would stick, I'd win my headers, I could link up. But I've went with 4-4-2 because I felt, for me, that was the most successful team that I was in, was a 4-4-2 at Wolves.
So who's going to be in goal? Because we've already mentioned Matt Murray, but you know, you played with a couple at your time at Wolves.
Yeah.
So who are you choosing, Chris?
Well, Matt Murray, you know, I never had the pleasure. I think I only seen him train two or three days with injuries,
right.
You know, and what I hear and what I've seen definitely could have been probably England goalkeeper it and take it and keep it for a while as well. But this was a difficult one for me because I was very close with Wayne Hennessy. I thought Carl Hakimi came in when Wayne got injured, and I thought Carl Hakimi came in and stepped up to the plate. And do you know what, the way they bounced off each other in training, how excellent they were. Both of them complemented each other, you know, they had great strengths, so I went with Keane's for my goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Hakimi, obviously we all know how it come to such a sad end, and it's very similar to Matt in terms of it's a case of what if and how far they could have gone. And, you know, he was already a Nigerian international, and it just makes you think how far he could have actually gone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think Mick McCarthy came from that season as well, because Carl got a new contract and then he took his foot off the pedal a little bit as well. And that's something I think Carl will hold his hands up and say, you know what, you do get a little bit comfortable. He was excellent, got a new contract, took his foot off the pedal, but then came back with a vengeance, you know. Yeah. And I think that's something that you can allow yourself to do it, but sometimes it just happens automatically. But coming to the end, nothing prepares you for that, you know. And Carl, you know, he's a family man. He's doing the property thing now as well, and you've got to wish him all the best and say the strength of character, the mental strength of the guy, the physical strength of him to get through what he's done and still be the person that he is. You know, great credit to him.
Well, I mean, in fact, we're actually doing Carl Hakimi's next week, so it'd be interesting if he picks you. Chris, if he doesn't, you've got a chance to block him.
If he doesn't, just tell him I'm not happy. Just say, if my name's not in it, just say to him, Chris said, if he's not mentioned, he's not happy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Enough said, and I'm sure the big man will get in touch.
Brilliant. So, 4-4-2, who are your fullbacks going to be? Your right back and your left back, Chris?
Well, to be fair, Kevin Foley won player of the season, didn't he, that year?
Yes.
I think Kev, for me, some of the goals that he created for me, just with his link-up play, with his delivery, you know, up and down, very comfortable on the ball, defended well.
Yeah.
I think just an all-round good football player that understood the game. So Kevin Foley is my right back. My left back, you know, again, someone who came into the position through injury of George Ellacobe, actually.
Yes.
Stephen Ward, who for me was the fifth striker, you know. And you've seen him, he trained well, he could tackle in training, he was both feeted when he wanted, you know, he could go and head it. He was just one of those. I think I tackled twice in 20 years, Jason. I got a yellow card for both of them. So it was just one of those. I got away with a lot of arms, elbows, you know, like that physicality. But slide tackles, just it wasn't really my thing. But Wardy had that about him. So Stephen Ward in at left back, and again, he scored his goals from that position as well. But you could put Wardy anywhere. Wardy would go in goals for you. Wardy would go anywhere as long as he was playing. And that kind of mindset in a player doesn't really exist anymore, you know.
Yeah. So
I don't think that's there anymore. I think and there's pros and cons to that. I guess I've always said to a player, you try and have to nail down one position, you know, having the versatility to be able to play certain and other positions.
Yeah.
That makes it easy for the manager to bring in players for that position if you're not nailed down. And I've always said to players, no matter how young they are, you say to the manager, I want to be in this position. I don't mind doing a job for you, but know that this is my position that I want to be in. And I think having that open and honesty with the manager and that relationship is always a positive, Jess.
I mean, I think with these two players, Kevin Foley, you know, you was always going to get 8 out of 10. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that every time he got the ball, you knew he'd keep possession.
Exactly.
And with Stephen Ward, yes, we signed him from Bohemians as a striker, but I don't think he would have had the career in English football that he did if he'd have stopped as a striker. And that move to left-back was genius because it has given him an unbelievable career in the Premier League. Obviously,
yeah, 57 caps as well. Went to Euros, World Cup. Yeah.
Wow.
Not a bad thing at all, is it?
And it isn't, and he wouldn't have, you know, sadly, he wouldn't have got that as a striker, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he'd obviously give that up to play left back and get the career he's got.
Exactly. No, there's no qualms about it. You know, I think we spoke to Wardy just a few months ago.
Yes.
On the old goal club.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and he has his, and he has a lot of, even on the podcast that we done with the match revisited, that he actually spoke to Mick, and they spoke about that in depth, you know, and it's so interesting that it worked. Mick McCarthy seen that he could do that, then obviously they educate him from within, you know, and it's, and how he took to the position is outstanding. And Mick even used him as a striker even after that, by the way, even in the Premier League, you know. So it's interesting, but fantastic story. That'll be a good book when it comes out, to be fair.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. So we go into the centre half positions, and once again there was, you know, you played with some great centre halves in your time, and obviously you're playing against these players in training as well, Chris, so you know how good they are. So which defensive partnership did you go for?
Well, I went for Neil Collins and Jody Craddock, just for the fact that we're no-nonsense defenders.
Yes.
You know, and not only were the defenders, but, you know, in the attacking box as well, they too scored some goals, important goals.
Yes.
You know, and that's something, for me as a striker, I think any team to be successful, they need goals coming from all over the pitch. You know, you look at centre-backs that don't score, I think because the way that they go and attack the ball defensively, they're a massive threat in the attacking box as well. So not only were Jody and Neil hard tacklers, good defenders, decent on the ball, they brought goals to the game, and I think they have a little connection, because like you say, there was some great partnerships there. Like I'm very close with big Christoph Berra.
Yes.
You know, he was my roommate away with the Scotland team. Again, you knew what you were going to get with Christoph. I think Jody, for me, just, even he wasn't fazed by the games, he knew what his strengths were, and he led quietly, but he led by example, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Neil was completely the opposite. Neil was loud, Neil was in your face, Neil's one of the proudest Scottish men I've ever met in my life, you know. He's outstanding, you know. I think he's out managing now in America with Foles as his assistant. So I think Neil from I thought he was just great on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
He would get the best. He would talk to players in the right way. You know, he would demand better from the players that weren't reaching the levels that they can usually get to. And like you say, he was a captain without the armband, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So that was my two players at centre back.
Wow, two great picks there. Once again, Neil Collins, like you said, proud Scotsman. He's at Tampa Bay now, doing a great job. And it proves what a leader he was. And Jody was a player who, you know, he got pushed out on loan to Stoke, and we all thought that was the end, and he come back an even better player, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's it. You do. The thing is, you have a think about it. If you're not playing, you need to go out and play. If you go out and play and you have a bit of success and you get some match fitness, then excellent. I went out to Bristol City because I had to catch up on fitness from Wolves when I was in the Premier League. I came back, and no matter, I missed pre-season because I broke my foot the second week or 10 days into pre-season.
Right.
So straight away I'm playing catch up. I was in the best shape of my life. I never had a cake on all these holidays, never touched a bit of alcohol all through the summer. I came back and, Jace, I don't know if you're allowed to swear, but I absolutely pissed the running. It was so comfortable for me. I just,
yeah.
And then in that first match out in Australia, Perth Glory, the foot just went. So maybe I'd done too much, and that's when I made a promise to myself that I'll have a balance. You know, I'll enjoy a little glass of red wine. I love my chocolate, so I'll have a little bit of chocolate. you know what I mean? So, but that I pushed myself too hard, and no matter what condition I was in when I broke my foot, that was 4 months without football, no matter what it was. Even though I was slowly running in the Alter G 3 days after my operation, so 10 days after I broke my foot, I was running in this Alter G with only like 5% of my body weight going through my foot. So it's crazy. I got back a month early, and I broke my foot again playing against Stoke. Because I had the goalkeeper Jody and another player all land on my back, and you felt it crack again. So basically I had another 3 weeks off, and then I came back and down at White Hart Lane, I remember we got the result down there. Yes. I came off the bench down there. Yeah. So it was it's for Jody, he had to go out on loan to come back. It's testament to him again. You know, you look at the mindset, you can think yourself, right, that's me done with Wolves, you go out and enjoy the new experience. But I think Jody always knew, I'll go out, I'll do what I do, I'll perform, and then if I come back, I'll do what I do again. And you know what? Yeah. Excellent. Credit to him.
And what a servant. So we move into midfield now, Chris. I'm not going to come to the wingers just yet. I'm going to go straight to centre midfield, because I want to talk about the wingers on the basis that they were the ones that set up a lot of your goals. So in midfield, your two centre midfielders, who are you going for?
Well, I've got to go with my debate club guys. You know, I think David Jones and Carl Henry, I think the relationship they had on and off the pitch,
yes,
it was very evident on the pitch. I think good footballers, good, both very intelligent guys. And I mean, just in every walk of life, you know, and the intelligence, the football knowledge, you know, I think the way that they could dominate, the energy that they had, you know, I think Carl Henry was one of the fittest players I've ever played with in my life, and Dave Jones on the VO2 Max got told that he was marathon runner. So basically, the levels that they get to, Dave Jones was at that level.
Wow.
because of the VO2 Max, and it just shows you there's only a small percentage of people that can do that. Yeah. You know, and that's not even footballers. I'm talking about in general. And Dave Jones was at that level, so. Again, I used to hate it. I used to call Carl Henry up. You know, I've battered myself. I've not had a drop of alcohol. I've not had one bit of chocolate cross my lips, Jason. I'd call him up, and I'm feeling great. You're right, Carl. What's going on? You've been doing your program. You've been, yeah. Well, I went out and played tennis yesterday. I mean, what do you mean? Like, you've been doing your? Oh, I've not really done anything. I've just done, and then straight away, Carl running at the front. Every run, boom. He's at the front.
I mean,
so easy for him. But he was always the same.
Chris,
he was my roommate. He was my roommate at Stoke City. He was my roommate at Wolves.
Of course, yeah.
And I remember we'd walk in, we'd get the PlayStation set up when we're at the hotels and that, and then out would come the hold all. He'd open it. I'd put my I'd have six to nine bottles of 1.5 litre bottles of water, yeah. And then I'd have three of them, put some Cordial in them, right? So I've got my bottles there. Henry would have 4 2-litre bottles of pop, so it'd be like Coke, Pepsi, whatever, Iron Brew, and then he'd come out with this big bag of chocolates, all sorts, and basically he would just keep eating chocolate all the way. He'd be drinking pop as we're going down to the meeting, and then he might have a little swig of water just before we go out and play. And that's Carl Henry. That's what I knew when he was at Stoke, when he was captain at Wolves. That's just the way that he, and he still went out there and he could run longer than anyone else, you know. So him and David Jones really complemented each other, I think, energy wise, fitness wise, and then basically two of them on the ball as well were fantastic.
I mean, Chris, you talk about players and the fitness, and in those Premier League years, you know, especially, look, we spent a lot of time out of possession, naturally, and there was a lot of chasing going on, so the players did have to be fit. But the point I'm alluding to is, look, if I have a bag of chips, I can see, literally, I could put the weight on instantaneously. Is there some players which are literally so fit they can pretty much eat what they want?
Well, Carl Henry, that's what I'm saying. All through my playing career, Jason, my body fats were under 6%.
Wow.
You know, and that was something that I did after I broke my foot. I basically knew, right, I'm going to enjoy myself as well. I'm not going to be so hard on myself.
Yes.
But there is players that I've played with many players that could eat what they want. You see them now and you think, oh, well, that's caught up in you a bit. You know what I mean? But I played with players that no matter how fit they were, no matter how much they could run, they looked like they were a little bit podgy. You know what I mean? So
yes,
again, you look. I played with Chris Cummins, obviously at Stoke City.
Yep.
We're up to Celtic and became a Celtic legend. Andy Reid, Charlton. He was Charlton captain, and again, what a player! I mean, I have never seen anyone with the quality that Andy Reid's got. But again. he was always that little bit in the heavy side, but he could run, he would get all over the pitch, he would score goals, he could create goals, he could tackle, he could do everything, but he always got a little bit of stick because of his weight. But fitness wise, running wise, he just knew, he knew what he had, and so again, everyone's different, Jace. You just got to know what your strengths are.
Yeah. Moving now from the midfield, well, still in midfield, but moving out to the wings, and I know, obviously, look, Chris, you was great in the air, but you're only as good as the crosses that, you know, come in the box. So who are your two wingers going to be?
My two wingers, again, shouldn't be any surprise, Michael Keightley, Matt Jarvis. Wow. Again, created goals for me. They just knew the game, you know, they knew what their strengths were. Matt Jarvis, and I said this to Matt just a couple of weeks ago, that he had to work on being a little bit more selfish. Matt was all about the team winning. Can he create, you know, and Kites had that kind of a little bit more selfishness, you know, I want to get my goal. And me and Matt spoke about this just a couple of weeks ago, Jason. Yeah. And he said, yeah, he did. He worked on coming in, getting his shot away. He worked on, his natural thing was to cut back on his right and chip it up to the back, take it to the line with his left and fire it across the front. You know, that's what he worked on rather than thinking goals, I need more goals. Whereas Michael Keightley would deliver. If he had a chance to shoot, if he had a chance to score, he would take that up. He would take the chance. But again, he had the awareness and the intelligence that if someone's in a better position than he is, can he give that perfect delivery? So I think both with the pace that Jarvo had, with the trickery that Kites had, I don't think there was any better in that league at that time.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they did take the championship by storm. And was it any surprise to you when Matt Jarvis got his England call-up, Chris?
No, it wasn't. You know what? And it comes down to the consistency. I think Jarvo was plagued with injuries, and it wasn't doing the wrong thing. Jarvo was always the first one in. Jarvo was out doing his sprint work with the weighted sprints. He was out doing all this before some players were even in the building, you know. So Jarvo done everything so he could maximise and take it as far as he could, and to get the honour to go out there and play for your country, you know, especially the England squad with the kind of the pool of players that they can choose from.
Yeah.
It shows you that it was well deserved. You know, I think what Jarvo brought was the pace, but the consistency of the delivery as well. And I think that's something that, again, you just think, plagued with injury, and it's cut another probably career short there, that he couldn't reach the levels that they had the potential of reaching.
Yes.
But again, the you say that they took the, I think the whole Wolves team complemented each other. Oh. that promotion season, that championship winning season, I think we had an air of confidence about us that obviously grew with the games that we won, that we'd score more goals than we conceded, we'd win more games. It was just one of those things. Like, I remember players coming to me, Wardy, Kites, and we're discussing celebrations and all that, even when we're playing against the teams that are up there with us, you know, like the Cardiff, and we went down there, and it was just one of those things. That it was a fantastic time. And you know, I've said it time and time again, my regret was leaving Wolves when I did. I had another year left. Burnley came in and offered me a 3-year contract on the same money at Wolves. I had that chat with Mick McCarthy, and I said to him, I said, look, I need to play more, Gaffer. And as honest as Mick is, he said that to me, and I've said this story many times. He says, look, you'll start some matches, you'll be on the bench, and you know what, big man, he says, you might not even make the bench some matches.
Wow.
And that's you want honesty from a manager.
Of
Mick
course.
Is someone that I speak to regularly. You know, we speak a lot, and if I've got if I've got something to think about, if it's in life or if it's in work or if it's in, he'll always give me an honest look from the outside. So that is a relationship that I hold very dear. And again, but it is a regret, Jace, that I left Wolves when I did, because again, if you have another pre-season, you score a couple goals and you just kick on, you just never know. You never know what's around the corner.
You don't with football, though, Chris. You know, the reality is it's a very, very short career. You're one tackle away from it ending. But also, if you get offered a 3-year deal when there's only a year left on your contract, Look, you cannot turn that down, can you, for security? And yes, it's not all about the money, but, you know, at the end of the season, then it could have gone the other way. So to take a 3-year deal was the sensible approach and option.
Yeah, I've got everything that you said, Jace, is complete sense. You know, I think you're talking about Burnley, and I scored 9 goals in 14 games at Burnley. Wow. And then Eddie Howe came in, and he didn't want the target man. He wanted, like, small, sharp, technical players. So for me and Steve Thompson, it became very difficult, you know. So it just shows you, you know, the reason... Football is one of those things that you don't know what's around the corner, so you have to get what you can. Yes. So I don't have a problem, Jace, with all these players earning the amounts of money. I think brilliant. You know, they're the asset, they deserve to get paid this, and if the club's going to give them it, then the worth's there. That shows you that they're worth that. So I don't have a problem when you talk about the certain kind of contracts that are out there. And what, like you say, you said it yourself, it's a short career. We've spoken about the likes of the potential of where Matt Murray could have went. Yep. Carl Akeem had kind of reached that potential, but he could have went further, went into international competitions and been a proper cup winner, or whatever you want to call it. Yep. So we've seen the dark side of what happens when it does fall short. So get what you can get when you can get it.
Oh, 100%. Now, we've just spoke about Jarvo. Moving on to the right with Michael Keightley. Was you not surprised, but the transition he made? He briefly played, obviously, for Southend in the league, but the transition he made from non-league football at Grays to the Championship, was you quite surprised with that, Chris?
Well, I wouldn't say surprised, because even more so now, because I've been down in the National League. I've seen the quality of player that's down there. Players that you think, that you see in training, you think, why is he here?
Yeah.
I don't get it why he's here, but there's always a reason why they're there, Jace.
You know,
and there's an attitude problem. There's that's something that if a player doesn't realise that, there's been many a story. You probably sat in the pub and some guy said, "Oh, I used to play for such and such. Yeah. I was better than him." And there's probably a truth to his story, but there was something else in his life that just distracted him or took his attention away from, and then he falls away from the game. You know, it's like, I talk about my old business partner, one of my closest friends to this day. What a footballer he was. He'd still probably be playing now, probably come to the end of his career, but he was a Stoke fan. He played for Stoke. He got let go from Stoke. And all of a sudden, he went down that slippery ladder, played for non-league, and then went and got a real job.
Yeah.
You know, but what a player. And it's just like little things. If you don't know what's around the corner, but you've got to do whatever you can to make sure. If it's playing football you want to do, go out and play football. Don't sit there on the bench somewhere, because you're very quickly forgotten in the game.
Uh-huh.
You know what? And I think that's one of the messages. I went abroad. I remember before I went to Germany, I had like 20-odd clubs trying to sign me. I came back, I had the choice between Colchester and Doncaster. So I then went to Colchester and basically started again. And all of a sudden I scored, whatever, 37, 40 goals in 2 seasons. And then I got the move to Charlton, that big money move. And then it just went on from there. But it could have very easily, I came back and I go to Colchester and it doesn't work out.
Yes.
You know, that's, so I've been very lucky, and I know you say it's more than just luck, Chris. Well, yeah, it is. You have to put the work in, but you still have to have that manager that believes in you, that manager that's sticking by you. Phil Parkinson was the guy. He kept in contact with me when I was playing out in Germany, so that relationship was quite strong without me even playing for him. So when I signed there, you knew that you were going to play under him, because he brought you in. You were one of his players. The exact same, Mick McCarthy brought me, Sam Vokes, in at the same time, but he told me straight away, he says, "Look, you've been here, you've done it. Sam Vokes is one for the future." But Sam was excellent. Every time Sam came off the bench, he'd get a goal. You think, bloody hell, Sam, any chance? You have a stinker, you come off the bench, you get took off. Sam comes on, he gets a goal. You're thinking, brilliant, we've got the result still. And then you're thinking, right, is the gaffer gonna mix it up? No, he doesn't. He kept me in. I think he started Sam a couple of games, but Sam was still getting the game times in his legs, and he wasn't as effective from the start than he was coming off the bench. But look at Sam Vokes now, bloody hell! You know, he's taken games by storm. You know, he's been promoted how many times? You know, it's and that's down to the player that he is. He scores international goals, important goals, and again, there's a time and a place. If a manager fancies you, you know, then you can't be complacent. You've got to use that as best you can to get as far ahead as you possibly can.
Now, moving to the centre forwards, I did say to you before, Chris, I said you can pick yourself. Once again, you've named a few strikers who you played up top with. Who is going to be your two pivotal goal scorers who are going to be rattling the net?
Yeah, well, I picked Silva and myself.
You've got to back yourself, Chris.
Yeah, well, I think you have. You know, I think Wolves probably got the best out of me than any club in my career.
And that's nice to hear.
Is that down to the players, the environment that Mick McCarthy and TC have created? Yeah, of course it is. You know, but I look at some of the goals that I scored for Wolves, and I think, where did that come from? You know, without a thought. You know, of the bicycle kick when I'm basically put together with kinesio tape. I don't. Well, why does that even? Why even take it on?
I mean, Chris, how tall are you, Chris?
I'm 6'3.5".
6'4" then, yeah. 6'4" in a nightclub. How can you score a bicycle kick at 6'4"? I mean.
You tell me. This is what I'm trying to say. It's like there's certain things. It's like I've watched. I've had. Obviously, I still work with Wolves, so I can get all these goals up, and I watched some of them. My first goal against Sheffield United, where I've taken it round Paddy Kenny and slotted it from a tight angle. Where did that pace come from? Like, you know, I've outran like Kyle Naughton. There's players there that are known for this, and I've. How's it happened? You know, it's like I look at goals and you think, whoa, not even a thought. When I was captain, my first goal against Blackpool at the Molyneux, where I take it out the air and then volley it into the stands without it even touching the ground. Yeah. It's like you can see my face. I'm more surprised than anyone else in the stadium that I've scored it when I'm running away. You know what I mean, Jay? So
brilliant.
I think me and Silv. I wouldn't say we were the closest. We weren't the closest off the pitch.
Yeah.
I think on the pitch, we just knew each other. We knew that we had that relationship. You know, I've told the story and I've told Silv up about it, that we never spoke. Silv never even acknowledged me. When I was on fire. And I remember Silv was on 11 goals and I was on 15 goals. And then Silv never spoke. We never spoke for about 6 weeks. So if I'm in the dressing room and Silv walked in, it was just me and him, he wouldn't say hello. We wouldn't speak.
Wow.
So it got to a stage that I wouldn't even, I just put my boots on or put my trainers on and get myself ready to go down. We wouldn't speak. Then all of a sudden, I remember he got that goal, the 16th goal, when I was on 15, and then Silv was back. He was back. And I've said it to his face, and he says, oh, no, I don't remember that. But I'm telling you, but that's what made Sylvain as good as he was.
Yes.
He wanted to be the main man. He wanted to be the top goal scorer. He wanted to be the goal getter. He wanted to be the guy for the team. And that's what made him, that the player that he was. Because there was no, the finishing, the goals that he could score, not even just in training, but in games, that came from just the sheer strength and agility and his balance. Unbelievable.
I mean, so Carl Henry, in his best 11, said he used to get quite frustrated with Sylvain sometimes because, look, he was a natural goal scorer. That was evident throughout his career. But there was times when, even as supporters, you feel like he's not giving 100%. And I'm not saying he wasn't, because I wouldn't say that. But it was just a feeling that you had that he could have put a bit more. But the thing was, we sell that.
Yeah,
he'd have
you're right.
To goal, and all of a sudden, he just ripped the net off, and it had come from nowhere.
Yeah, no, Sylvain knew when he could have that little rest. You know, I remember we were down at Watford one time, and I was running all over the place. I was doing Sylvan's work for him, you know, and it was one of those. It was after that, after the Scotland miss. So you kind of just want to come and get your goal. I remember I got a goal that day, but I remember ran myself into the ground, and Mick McCarthy was hammering me because I wasn't hammering Sylvan. He said, you tell that lazy, blah 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 whatever. And I'm saying, Gaffer, just chill. You know what I mean? We'll get this, because I had to do what I had to do, because I knew that if Sylvan got the chance, he'd put it in the back of the net.
Yes.
So again, that's what I was, more of a team player. Of course, it's nice scoring goals, but it was more about the team winning. And I played with Troy Deeney, and Troy Deeney, if he hadn't scored and the team won, he's not happy. I played with Jamie Cureton. If he hadn't scored and the team had won, he's not happy. Sylvan's one of those players. That's what makes these players different from the rest.
Yes.
If they've got the goal and the team's won, it's brilliant. If they've had a great performance, or maybe had an assist but the team's not won, it makes it a little bit better because they're involved, but they've not done their job. They've not got their goal, and that's what makes these players so much different from the players like you look at, like myself. You know, I was a team player. I like scoring goals on a vein of form, brilliant, but it wasn't do or die to get that goal.
Yeah, that's a fair comment, Chris. Fair comment. So, who is going to manage this? Actually, it's the 2008-2009 winning team, I think. Who, you know, clearly it's going to be Mick McCarthy. I mean,
of course.
Listen, you've worked with some. I mean, some of the managers you reeled off. To be honest, I'd forgot about all the managers you'd played under. I mean, how does Mick rate amongst them? And what was Mick like to you?
Oh, he's, you know, Mick's right up there. You know, I think just his honesty, just the way that he holds and he respects the group of players, the trust that he has in the players that he's brought together. You know, it's you have to do something very wrong to kind of burn that bridge with Mick McCarthy. And like you say, he's a genuine, proper bloke. And you know that from just people say, like, he seems really, really nice and honest when you see him. That's Mick McCarthy. That's not an act. It's not a face that he puts on. That's the guy that walks into the dressing room, but he's got the respect of the group. Again, he knew the strengths, the weaknesses of the players. He knew what players needed to kick up the backside, and the players that could take a kick up the backside. And he also knew the players that needed that little bit of cuddling and as he says, a wee bit of kind of, you know, a wee cuddle and a pat in the back, you know, when it wasn't deserved. So it's down to man management, and there's no better for me in the game.
Brilliant. Well, Chris, it's been very interesting talking to you today, because obviously, you know, we know you're a top pundit anyway, but that you've gone through that so in depth, and obviously the supporters, you know, because it's the other side of the mic for you, isn't it? I suppose, Chris, you're normally the one asking the questions, so
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I hope you've enjoyed it today, Chris. We do want to get
it's
you back on.
It's been good fun, Jess.
Sorry?
It's been good fun, mate. It's been good fun. Anytime, just good. Give me a shout.
Well, we do want to get you back on, Chris, for your full story, because, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot more tales, obviously, from the dressing room and from the pitch. And you know what, Chris? I want to end by saying thank you for playing a pivotal role in that championship winning season and helping us get back to the Holy Grail. So really appreciate that, Chris, and I really appreciate your time today.
Top man, Jason. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.